Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
I enjoyed the Taysom Hill experience.
Yeah, it wasn't as kind of bad as I thought it was
going to
be.
Oh, you could see victory laps going on early on. The media members, I know who's who. All right, let's just say that. Their lines have been drawn. And midway through the second quarter, there were some Las Vegas Raiders stadium circles being done in the team bus when it came to Taysom Hill. And then when you see the dust settle, oh, shit, Taysom Hill had a good game. Right. What do we do with that?
Made the right decision. Falcons. Has there ever been more made about a backup quarterback? I mean, and the decision that went into choosing Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill? I mean, Jesus Christ, Sean Payton. You're a football coach. My God.
Did you guys see him taking the victory lap on Twitter?
Of course.
Yeah. Retweeting Roddy White's tweet, criticizing the movie.
He had a dunk on Roddy White. I haven't thought about Roddy White in like 8 years.
It's one game against the Falcons. Like, let's just go. Taysom Hill is Taysom Hill still, all right?
That's the pivot, but I guarantee you the context of, hey, it's one game against the Falcons wouldn't have occurred from a lot of the people that have sided with Jameis Winston out there in Twitter land. So it was good to see. I went in. My whole thing with Taysom Hill, as I've aligned myself publicly with Taysom Hill, is I just want to see. Let's extend the coaching staff the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what this player can do with a week's full of practice, because I'm interested to see what his skill set delivers on. And after a game, I want to see more of it. I understand the decision. I think for that offense, especially with a limited Alvin Kamara who's a little bit hobbled.
That was bullshit, Mike. No, what Sean Payton did there, he's not hobbled, okay? What Sean Payton did there was he had to prove to everyone that Taysom Hill was the right decision. So rather than give the ball to Alvin Kamara, which he usually does when Drew Brees is playing quarterback and Kamara gets those three touchdowns instead of one yesterday, he gave the ball to Taysom Hill to prove his point.
You feel...
And I am f***ing pissed because Kamara's on my fantasy team.
We all knew.
Why am I mad at him? I told you I was ruminating on this idea. Here's who I'm mad at. Why am I mad at him? And that's why I'm mad at Sean Payton today. How about that?
It's absolutely true. He needed to get some in the TD column for old Taysom there, and he had to do it with his legs. And Stugatz, I was playing against Taysom Hill at tight end yesterday.
Oh, boy.
So you know how that went for me.
So you and I together, we are both mad at Sean Payton.
I'm actually happy with Sean Payton. I'll stand on the hill. I'm happy with Sean Payton. I was playing against Kamara. I played Taysom Hill in DraftKings, won a nice little 25 spot in the GPP. Like, I was excited about that game.
Right. No, it was an exciting game. Listen, it was exciting to see if Taysom Hill could be a good NFL quarterback. He could be. That's his first start, right? And he played pretty well. But Payton was definitely going out of his way to take touchdowns away from Kamara to prove his point about Taysom Hill. And that really upset
me. A lot of QB powers.
Yes.
A lot of QB powers in there close to the red zone. There was two passes that I was watching that game in and out because I wanted to see what Taysom Hill was doing at quarterback. But there was two passes in general with Taysom that one of them was the one where he threw the ball to Emmanuel Sanders that got caught in the air conditioning and then dropped down like a punt. And then there was one that he threw like 60 yards on a dime to Emmanuel Sanders for the touchdown that got called back on holding. Like, those were, one was bad, one was good. But other than that, it was a lot of play action and Michael Thomas, right? Like, that's the one play he had.
Yeah. And Billy, it's going to be at Denver next week. The Falcons again the week after that, if Brees isn't back. Then the Eagles. You know what? Here's the game. Taysom Hill, Sean Payton, you want to prove something to me? Beat the Chiefs. Okay, they play the Chiefs later this season in Kansas City. Yeah, you want to prove to me that you're a good quarterback, you made the right decision, go ahead, beat the Chiefs.
Okay? Yep. And you get a 3-4 week head start to figure out how to do it, just to prove us wrong.
You're exactly right. Speaking of the Chiefs, there was no doubt. Mike, did you say that that's the first time Patrick Mahomes had that kind of drive, a game-winning drive?
In the final minute,
In the final minute.
I think it speaks more to the fact that he's just never in that situation because the Chiefs are really, really good.
But you never doubted the result there.
No.
Did any of you?
No, but right. We were making the argument in the local hour that in defeat, I think we're more believers in the Raiders' prospects than we were when they actually won at Arrowhead, because anything can happen in 1 week. They've shown over the course of their two division games that matchup-wise, they can be a bit of a fit, and I'll put respect on Derek Carr's name. The guy's having a top-five season at the position this season. He's a different quarterback. He's taking more shots downfield. You're getting guys like Aguilar, who was always controversial. Eagles fans hated him, but you're seeing more consistent effort out of him. They have speed on the outside.
He had that terrible drop last night, though.
Well, it's a bit of a hard catch. Terrible is a little harsh on him, but since it's Aguilar, like, they'll always hold it against him. It would have been – big-time players make that catch. That would have been a great play for him to make, but I'm not going to kill him for that because he's been really good for them. But it's sort of built like an older-school Al Davis team with all the speed on the outside and these impact playmakers. And then you have a bruising running back in Jacobs who, in terms of pure running, you can make an argument that he's having the best pure running season in the league outside of, well, Derrick Henry's just a freaking monster.
Derrick Carr has three interceptions.
Derrick Carr's been really good.
It's crazy.
It's one of those things that it's not really talked about, how he's the greatest quarterback in that franchise's history. And it's not, outside of Mina, not a lot of people are giving him love nationally. And it was good for him to have a highlight game. I know they were on Monday Night Football earlier this season, but he played really well and went shot for shot up until the very end with Patrick Mahomes. So I think the Raiders are going to be a tough out. They look like a playoff team.
Last 26 games, Carr has thrown 11 interceptions. I mean, that's pretty good. Let's ease up on him being the greatest quarterback in Raider history. I mean, please. I mean,
well, you go Kenny Stabler?
Jim Plunkett, Kenny Stabler. I mean, the Snake. Stabler's a ring or two. Plunkett is two, I think.
Going rings. Quite honestly, the argument that I would have made is actually Rich Gannon, even though he doesn't have the rings
MVP,
that the other guys. Yeah, he had like the best output at the position, but you compare all their stats, weird franchise. The quarterbacks had shorter runs at that franchise. He's played more games than anybody at the position Derek Carr has, and in this era, the numbers for Derek Carr look so much better than those other guys.
I'm guessing Derek Carr's worst season is better than Kenny Stabler or Jim Plunkett's best season.
That's probably a good shout.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Now I got to look it up. I mean, hold on.
Anytime the Chiefs are on primetime, it's an exciting game, right? And that's obvious, but I was looking forward to Sunday night in a way that I wasn't looking forward to Sunday night like last week or previous weeks before.
Wow,
like, anytime the Chiefs are in prime time, like, I'm there.
Carrie Underwood really spoke to you.
Yeah, well, she
was. You were
does.
Waiting all day for Sunday night.
I was. I really was. And then I heard Chris and Al. You know, I'm upset we don't get the Chris Collinsworth slide anymore. That's something that I do miss of this football season. I'd say that's the number one thing I miss from this football season. More than the crowd, more than anything else, is the Chris Collinsworth
really,
slide.
Really, I was going to say not knowing what college football games are going to be played.
Yep.
But second to that, the Chris Collinsworth slide, probably. Should I give credit to the NFL for not being as terrible at this as college football is? Because college football is bad. I know the NFL has resources. And college, you got to worry about a little bit more of a roster. The roster size is a little bit deeper, and it's harder to wrangle all those kids. But good God, college football has biffed this.
Really, there was good sound that I sent you that Dan will probably like, of Dabo Swinney blaming FSU for why that game was canceled and saying they have no reason to play FSU again unless FSU goes to Clemson and pays for all expenses. It was crazy.
Yeah, the Dabo thing, it was hard.
Someone tested positive, though.
The kid was symptomatic.
On his team. It was his team.
It was his team. He was on the team playing. He practiced all week with symptoms, kept testing negative, and then positive. I thought the protocol was if someone's displaying symptoms, you keep them away. FSU, what's happening here is FSU was a 40-point dog, right? They were a 40-point dog, so no one, in terms of like public perception, it's obviously going to be, well, they're ducking them, right? But if you're looking at the merits of the argument, FSU actually has the winning hand here. Clemson is not helping the situation with a deleted tweet from Trevor Lawrence saying this was not about COVID. Dabo, upon having time for reflection, comes out with that press conference. It's a bad look for Clemson. You're putting the blame on FSU when you're the one that's responsible for this.
Well, Mike, here's the difference, right? We talk about the NFL and we talk about college football. The NFL doesn't have this, right? Like, the worst thing is the Raiders not wearing masks at a charity event, the Tennessee Titans kind of screwing up a couple weeks, but everybody falls in line, right? College football, they're going to say, well, I don't care. You can go to hell and I'm going to be Dabo Swinney or I'm going to be whomever. And our conference is just going to throw the CDC guidelines to the wind and we're going to pretend like COVID doesn't exist.
It's holding a mirror up to society because different conferences, like different states, have different rules for how to attack this virus. And you could tell by being first to market, the ACC didn't really hold this in high regard. And it's a shame because I can't look at you in the face and tell you that the University of Miami is going to play another football game this season. It's totally unknown. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee, and we're going to see the rankings for the first time this week, I do not envy their job. It is going to be really difficult this year. We all knew that going into it, but I think collectively we had no idea it was going to be like this, where none of us can answer whether or not we're going to see Miami again.
Derek Carr, by the way, his worst season as a pro, 21 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Jim Plunkett's best season, I think, 20 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. but a Super Bowl.
Yeah, got the ring. But Derek Carr, pretty definitively, is the best quarterback in that franchise's history.
When he gets a ring, we can have that.
How lame is that?
I didn't get to the snake yet. So.
How lame is that when you I don't know if Madden's still doing the all-time teams, but you pick the Raiders, one of these glory franchises, and then, like, Derek Carr, huh, that's not fun at that position.
By the way, Darren Waller, he's really good.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Really good tight end. And I would have never known who he was if it wasn't for Hard Knocks last season.
Correct.
Hard Knocks introduced me to Darren Waller, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to take a little shot on this guy. He is a good tight end.
I drafted him last year just based on Hard Knocks.
Same. I did the exact same thing, and I was pissed this year when someone else drafted him.
Based on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I got him this year on the fantasy team, and business is booming a little bit right now. happy for Darren Waller because he also had, like, private demons that he was battling too, which I would have never known about were not for the spotlight of Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks was pretty terrible this year because we all saw one episode and dipped, I think.
Yep, I even dipped, and I love that show more than anybody. It was just too much. They were just shoving COVID down our throats.
Who was it again? I don't even remember who the teams were. Who was it?
Chargers and Rams.
Yeah, Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
I would have liked to. McVay actually kept me around for 2.5 episodes. I was interested in hearing Sean McVay talk. And I hope maybe if they circle back to the Rams in a couple of years, McVay's obviously still going to be there. I'd like to get to know them under normal Hard Knocks circumstances.
It might just be his voice. He seems very intense for me. Very intense. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's his voice. I feel like I couldn't hang out with him just because of his voice. Yeah.
It must be his voice because he doesn't come off intense at all. Like when you watch Hard Knocks, he comes off very much as like a coach I'd like to play for.
Maybe this is one of those like presidential debate things where like you watch it on TV and you hear it on radio and it's a different outcome. Because my relationship with Sean McVay, my relationship with almost every football player is simply listening to their useless sound every single week. And when I get to Sean McVay, I'm like, let me sit back. Let me take a deep breath before I listen to this because this guy is pretty intense.
He doesn't strike you as a weirdo? Sean McVay, football weirdo? Because that's
I mean, they're all weirdos, right? Cliff Kingsbury, they're all weirdos.
They're all weirdos, but he's a real weirdo when it comes to like football stuff because he remembers plays from like 7 years ago, like down to the exact formation.
Yeah, he's
it's kind of weird.
It's a beautiful mind type deal with Sean McVay. When he speaks, you know that guy just knows football generally more than everybody else. Cliff Kingsbury does not give off. They're both cool kind of coaches, but Cliff Kingsbury is not rattling off every player from the Chicago Bears defense last
year. I don't think
year.
Kingsbury can rattle off all the players on his own team.
Yeah, I mean, he's a perfect example because every other coach, when you hear them talk, you just kind of imagine some form of dungeon in their house where they are looking and breaking down all this film and writing on walls and whatever. And then Cliff Kingsbury, when I hear him, I think of other dungeons in his house.
While we were trying to hold back praise because they've had their issues, and there was one week that in the NFL when we had a Tuesday night game and the Titans thing was going on, we were all looking at each other like, what are we doing? Since then, as the cases around the country continue to spike upward, the NFL, their protocols seem to work. They're not having the situation. Myles Garrett has been staying home. Facilities have been closed. You're not having a symptomatic player practice along an offensive line like you saw in Clemson. So their protocols are working. We haven't had a game delayed in quite some time. I'm really into this NFL season. I'm happy that it got played. I'm not happy college football got played. It's a mess. I'm happy to have the action and happy to have something to watch. But I feel bad watching that sport, especially when they're not getting played. NFL, the product has been outstanding.
Amazing.
On TV.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed last night on Sunday night because the ambient noise was turned way down and you heard all the audibles that were being checked at the line from Darren, I need you, to like Pistol Pete and James Harden audible calls. It was fantastic to watch last night.
To the point where they were joking that Derek Carr was the third analyst on the game.
Right, yes. But have you guys had a similar experience? I thought the NFL would be most affected by not having fans at the stadium. I have enjoyed it more than any other sport we've watched. It has not affected the way I view the NFL at all. I've enjoyed this season as much as any season.
And remember, was it 2015? It was the year that the Panthers made it to the Super Bowl as a one-loss team. And the Super Bowl was just a dreadful watch. And it was just the shitty cherry on top of this shitty Sunday that was like the worst NFL season we had seen. You had the kneeling thing going in public perception. The games were not good to watch. They seem to have a very real stylistic problem. This year, the games have been phenomenal. You have a playoff chase. I know it's one random year and we're going to get plenty of diluted playoff chases, but the expansion of the playoffs actually ended up working out because in the AFC, outside of the NFC East, which is still compelling, and you have major market teams that are playing important games despite having three wins, absolutely nailed it. The TV product is excellent. The games are fun to watch. Yep. There's not this stylistic issue. And you have several markets, big markets, chasing the playoffs right now to the point that I'm looking ahead and seeing what the primetime schedule is because I had such a great time watching a standalone game last night.
Standalone games are fun. Very underrated. I've done it back-to-back weeks now with the Dolphins. I'm telling you, I miss just watching a game wire to wire.
We're a couple of years removed from Dan saying, I can't watch one game anymore, and all of us in agreement because the Red Zone was such a game changer. Now, standalone games, because the product has improved with what they've done to the rules and offense is changing a little bit. Last night was a delight, start to finish.
The funny thing is, we talk about that 2015 season and how Cam, you know, was the MVP. They were 15-1. I didn't look it up. I'm looking off the top of my head. I think Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl with the Broncos. Obviously, an incredible defense. 9 touchdowns, 17 picks.
Yeah.
I may be wrong on that.
Worst quarterback.
That's what it was. Yeah,
worst quarterback I've ever seen win a Super Bowl. I mean, Trent Dilfer, the year that the Ravens won the Super Bowl, was a better quarterback than Peyton Manning that final season. And he ended up winning a Super Bowl. All the great Peyton Manning seasons we had ever seen up until that point, and his shittiest season, he ends up winning a ring because of that defense being so dominant. That was such a bad year of football. I thought, oh man, Dana White might be right about the NFL's prospects. Mark Cuban and Dana White, we were like, oh, these guys make sense. And no, absolute juggernaut. No stopping the NFL in this country.
Mike, I thought it was pretty exciting yesterday because you told us about PJ Walker XFL, and PJ gets a start yesterday over Teddy Bridgewater and played pretty well.
Yeah, two.
He played okay.
It was exciting. Two interceptions in the end zone. It was one of the shittier games of the Sunday slate.
Not if you had Panthers.
That's what's going on there. Yeah.
PJ Walker looked really good. And aside from the interception that he threw to somebody in the corner where it was just Lions players around him, like he was looking really good. Like DJ Moore stepped up. He didn't find Robbie Anderson on any deep balls, but he was playing really calm and composed. Is there a little QB controversy
No.
now in Carolina?
Teddy's actually been really good this season. Credit to Teddy because I thought he was his check down quarterback.
I'm with Tony. I want to see more of PJ though.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Well, keep in mind that's his college head coach over there at Carolina, but I don't think he was good enough that you benched Teddy. Teddy's been real good for them.
Mike, to his point, though, Bridgewater and DJ Moore have not been able to connect in that way. That's the first 100-yard game, I believe, for DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, though, has had a good season.
And I'll tell you who's a very underrated player on that Panthers team is Curtis Samuel. He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a versatile player. They've been using him out of the backfield. I think you're wrong on DJ Moore. Teddy Bridgewater's gotten way more out of those. I didn't expect us to break down the Lions-Panthers games.
But this is PJ Walker. I want to see more of him with Tony. I mean, I think that was his first start ever in the NFL. He played well.
Yeah, he played well, and it's no surprise to those diehard XFL fans. Also, Chris, I'm happy to report that while my mentions were flooded for one fleeting moment with 1 minute left in the third quarter of Broncos Dolphins, Antonio Callaway. I won that one. I won that yes. one. I was being told what a big first down. The man, the Dolphins really needed that. And thank God he didn't do anything, because if he actually did, I would have probably deleted the app. Because one first down catch, and I didn't stop hearing about Antonio Callaway, but still holds the title being the worst football player ever.
Seven catches, by the way, 127 yards. It's DJ Moore's best game. That's it. Best game of the year.
Yeah. Okay. DJ, like they actually have skill at the skill positions that I thought Teddy Bridgewater wouldn't get a lot out of, because what we saw over Teddy Bridgewater, especially with New Orleans, was everything was underneath. He's spreading the field a little bit more. PJ Walker, that's his game. At least it was with the Houston Roughnecks of the XFL.
Was yesterday the anti-Philip Rivers experience, by the way, since we've talked about almost every other game? I mean, the Colts couldn't do anything right at the end of regulation. Nothing right. Like, you tune in and you'd be going back and forth. It'd be the red zone. And it's like, well, this game was supposed to be over 10 minutes ago, but it's first and 65 for the Colts right now.
They had 9 holding penalties in a row. Like, I'm not even joking.
No way.
I'm not even
joking. It was insane. It was insane.
Like eight, it was like 7 or 8 holding penalties in a row. It was first and 30 at one point.
It got to the point that the Packers were declining the holding because they just wanted to get the ball back. And they knew that the Colts just couldn't overcome how far of a hole they dug themselves.
I think the biggest mystery in the sport yesterday was how the Packers scored 3 points in the second half. I mean, that's insane. Insane.
Goat shit was going down, though, because Aaron Rodgers, that pass to Valdez-Scantling was just, how does this guy always seem? Like, they may not come up with it, but the ball is going to be there. The ball that you absolutely need to have, that is a low percentage successful play, guy does it all the time.
That's why overtime was such a dud, because it was such a little stupid 2-yard like fart pass that immediately fumbled. Oh God.
It was a bummer.
The worst way that game could have ended.
Real bummer. I wanted to see a field goal on the first drive and have the Philip Rivers experience. And I think we all learned pretty much at the same time. It wasn't a Philip Rivers problem. It was a Chargers problem.
Yeah.
Because every Chargers game, even when they win, like, that was a nervy game. The safety with 1 second left, nervy. Always with the Chargers.
By the way, if you're the punter, can you run a little bit further in the end zone the other way and actually run out the clock? Like, instead of just waiting there and then getting pushed out of bounds, just run 20 yards into the end zone and then run out. What's the problem here?
Billy, you mentioned that we've talked about every game. I kind of like that on a Monday, though. I like us just going around the NFL, round and around, Billy. So that way you make sure you don't miss anything.
But now we have 2 hours of nothing to talk about.
I don't know, but Dan, then we get Dan's news and notes. I think the punter... That was as poorly as you could execute that. And NFL teams actually did a good job this week of executing, like, the play where we just had the quarterback throw on fourth down. Baker Mayfield did it to close a half against Eagles, which was a surprisingly good game once again, though, with bad weather in Cleveland. And Drew Lock absolutely nailed it. A lot of player props were cashed on that Drew Lock final pass play to Patrick. Jones, I'm sure, was that one? That one was on Byron Jones, right? I'm sure he's kicking himself for that. He was just not even trying to complete the pass to Patrick, and he ends up getting a huge chunk play at the end there.
This is a serious question, and I know everybody likes to give you crap about the Browns, and they have a 7-3 record. Do you have any idea if the Browns are good or not? Because they've played in such horrible weather the past few weeks. Their games haven't looked impressive whatsoever, and they sneak out these wins. I have no idea if the Browns are good or not. I mean, I lean towards they're not that good, and if they make the playoffs, it's not going to be a deep run. But they've had such a bad stretch of weather, it seems like.
Mike will answer this, but I will tell you this, only because he's told me countless times, the way the Browns are playing and winning is exactly the way their coach wants to play and win. Like, this is how he does not want Baker Mayfield throwing the ball all over the field.
Yeah, Baker had one bad moment where he had Austin Hooper wide open in the end zone, goes off his back foot, and ends up sailing the ball. And that was the one that was going off of social media. But Baker actually had a pretty good game outside of that. And, yeah, the games have seemingly been tight. But keep in mind, Nick Chubb steps out at the one. And Carson Wentz leads Eagles down the field for a meaningless touchdown. That makes it a little nervous with the onside kick. That game wasn't really that close. It is a little frustrating as this season you're trying to evaluate the quarterback because you finally have an adult in the room at the head coaching spot, right? This offense plays to Baker's strengths. It plays to the team's strengths. You want to be able to evaluate the quarterback without Odell Beckham Jr. He had his best career game against Cincinnati. And then it's like weather on top of the asteroid in Armageddon against Las Vegas. And then against Houston, just terrible 40-mile-per-hour winds. The winds weren't that big of an issue in this game, but it was raining again. It's just very difficult to make an evaluation on the position. But the Browns are a good team. And
their running game's elite, right? I mean, there's no better run attack in the NFL than
they're
going to
have 2,000-yard rushers at the run. And the pleasant surprise, but I think you can probably chalk this up in part to the weather, is the defense. The defense early on in the season looked like arguably the worst defense in the league. But over these last few weeks, they have not been terrible. And when you have that running attack, that is a recipe for success in the postseason. Ultimately, solid enough defense, make big plays, and then control the game. Keep the ball out of, I guess we can just go out and speak his name, keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. And so there's a recipe there. The Browns are going to make the playoffs.
You have faith in them in the playoffs, though? Because, like, I know weather is one of the big issues, but it seems they're not this offensive juggernaut that everybody thought that they were going to be when they brought in the players that they brought in. And it kind of feels like maybe they have evaluated Baker and they're kind of hiding him a little bit, which is not what you want out of the number one pick in the draft. So do you have confidence in them in the playoffs?
They're third in the NFL in rushing, by the way. Yeah. They're just behind the Cardinals and the Ravens.
Again, it's hard because 25% of their season now has been played in terrible weather. It should not be overlooked. But I don't know if they win a playoff game. They play a certain style. It does seem like they're hiding Baker a little bit in that they're not chucking it down the field. But again, you have no idea if they can chuck it down the field considering the weather, and he looked fine in Cincinnati, and that's the best weather they played in. That was more than a month ago. So they are built like a team that could give you problems in the playoffs. I don't know yet on Baker Mayfield. I do think that they're going to make the playoffs, which is unreal. That's the goal. That's the goal.
How many teams are making it?
Seven teams are going to make it.
Okay. So they'd be the...
They're 7-3 right now.
So they're the sixth seed right now.
Yeah. Their matchup,
they play the Chiefs in the first.
Yeah, which is not great. You want to get higher. No, the Chiefs are obviously going to beat them.
That's not going to go. You're going to have the recipes you want for good playoff runs all you want. That's not going to work against the Chiefs.
Yeah. Nick Chubb is such a tremendous football player. He is my favorite player to watch in the league. He's a lot like Derrick Henry in that he'll just wear you down the entire game. He's not fun to tackle. And in the fourth quarter, you know he's going to pull away. And then, holy shit, the straight line speed. That run that he had without the gloves, the old school running back look, that stiff arm, his ability to cut off angles, he's just so terrific at that position.
Wait, Mike, hold on. So the Steelers were going to buy. They're the only team that gets a bye, right? One team gets a bye.
I mean, keep in mind the Chiefs are just one game back of the Steelers.
No, okay, but one team gets a bye in each. Okay, so I stand corrected. You would play the Bills, right? If it ended today, you'd play the Bills in the opening round. You could win that game.
Yeah,
you could win a playoff game.
Yeah,
if you avoid the Chiefs or the Steelers, right?
My, I think their ceiling is maybe win one game in the postseason, which is a tremendous success story. And then I think Baker can get better within this offense. Keep in mind, he's played for the worst head coaches in the history of the sport. This is his first time in a system that plays to his strengths outside of college. I'd like to see more, and I'd like to see it in good weather, preferably.
I mean, he has to figure it out. They're not going to fire another coach. How many coaches is this guy going to be responsible for not being coaches anymore?
I'm good to give Stefanski a lifetime contract at this point.
You should. You're 7-3,
He's an adult. He's a true leader. His decision-making as the game progresses, his play calling is good. I am so happy we finally seem to have an adult in the room.
He's going to so fire him if they lose that playoff game.
Oh, man, I'm level-headed about this Brown season.
That Ted Lasso is really...
It really has. Yeah. No, it's not so much Ted Lasso as it was losing to FIU. I think last season was very difficult for the Browns. They talked a lot of shit. They had all these expectations, and they embarrassed themselves. It was humbling on both ends. And now I think teams are actually underrating the Cleveland Browns, specifically because of last year. That's a very good win that they have against the Colts.
Can we talk about how bad Carson Wentz is? because yesterday was abysmal. Like he, like the numbers are coming out on him, and Hembo's doing a bunch of great stuff, like putting out stats. Like the numbers on Carson Wentz are staggering how bad he is. Like, have we seen such a precipitous drop off from somebody who's gotten such a big contract, was like an MVP candidate?
At no point did I fear the Eagles were going to win that game. And I'm a Browns fan. The Browns always find ways to lose those games. Carson Wentz, that ain't it. The guy was incredible for one season. He was in the MVP conversation. He has a Super Bowl ring in part because of what he did in that regular season before he got hurt. That ain't it. They did the hard thing with Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts can't start this next game against Seattle, which
it makes me wonder how good Jalen Hurts is.
They're obviously evaluating the quarterbacks. I don't know if he doesn't grasp the playbook, but you did the hard thing in hurting Carson Wentz's feelings. You got to see what you have in Hurts because Carson Wentz is bad. Olivier Vernon had 3 sacks. I think Olivier Vernon in this game had more production than he had all the games combined entering it. Miles Garrett would have won the Defensive Player of the Year if he didn't miss this game due to COVID. Like, he would have gone off. It might have been a record day for Miles Garrett.
But the Eagles sitting pretty in first place.
Because of?
The tie. I was going to see if Billy was with Frank Gore, said 0-16, I can't go out like that. Oh, poor Frank.
Wait, he said I can't go out like that?
Yeah, Frank's not going out, let's be real.
Frank's
not going out.
Yeah, here's what Frank said. Frank's not going. He's never going out, ever. Gore on Specter of 0-16, quote, I can't go out like that. Frank, if this is your last season, you're going out like that. I mean, they're not trying to win games. So, Billy, do you feel bad for Frank Gore?
I feel bad for Frank Gore. I kind of do.
He should.
I also don't feel like he's going out this year, though. That's the thing. Frank Gore Jr. is going to retire before Frank Gore Sr. retires.
I feel like Frank's got 5 more years in him. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he knows. And that's to be 5 teams he hasn't played for yet. He should play for all the teams, Frank.
Sugats, is there a quarterback controversy brewing in New York?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. That's the controversy. What? Yeah.
Flacco actually gets the ball to the skill guys better than I thought he would.
Flacco's been better than Sam Darnold. Yeah. He has. Sam Darnold's not good.
But you want to see Sam Darnold in part because you want to go 0-16, so you get Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, Mike, they're going 0-16. This team is going 0-16. They're actively trying to go 0-16. And they got out to a 6-0 lead yesterday, and I was like, what are they doing? What are you doing? LaMichael Perrine. They're trying the Florida running back out. And then they went back to Frank Gore because they realized Perrine might just be good enough to keep him in a football game.
I mean, to Stugatz's point, they made a goal. Like, they got a turnover at the goal line, and they get the ball back. And then the very next play, Joe Flacco throws a pick 6.
Yep.
On it was purpose. Just like the coach kind of gave him a look like, defense, why did you make that stop? Yep. Joe, go fix this.
Yep. Joe, give him 6.
I don't understand why Flacco can get the ball to the guys like Mims and Perriman. You actually have, when Joe Flacco's in there, you see glimpses. Herndon, you have some skill position talent. Right. You guys shouldn't be 0-16. You're too good to be 0-16, if that makes any sense.
There's not a game. Mike, look at their schedule and tell me a game you think they're going to win or even be competitive in. There's not one. Not one on the schedule. Not one.
No. No, no, they're going to go.
I mean, the Dolphins, after the way they looked, I mean.
No, 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 no. Chris, this is historically bad what the Jets are doing. Like, this is like the worst team I've ever seen. And they're not trying to win. So you combine the lack of talent, no Sam Darnold, they're playing Joe Flacco with a team that is actively trying to lose football games, in my opinion. And there's just Frank Gore's going 0-16. So.
It's hotly contested. The Jags won week one and have lost 9 straight since then.
Oh, the Jags are for real.
That's how you're evaluating these games?
Yes.
The Jags are a very real threat to you. You win one game and you're back in the thick of this dogfight for Trevor Lawrence.
They cannot afford to win a football game. They can't, because you are right. The Jags, who won the first game of the year 1-0, they realize what a colossal mistake that was, and they are trying to make up for it. If they could lose 2 games a week, they would, but they can't. And so the Jets cannot afford to win a football game.
A random victory that ended up being week one, because the Colts are a good team.
I know. How did that happen?
I guess no preseason. You're rolling out a new quarterback.
Well, the Colts are like the best defense in the NFL.
Colts are good, man.
I know.
That's a hell of a win for the Jags week one. It's hard to explain.
Just going back to the coaching conversation for a second, is there a coach that appears, like, who is the most normal of the NFL coaches? Is it Andy Reid? Like, does he? Because I'm with Billy. Like, hanging out with Sean McVay would seem intense. I want nothing to do with Peyton after yesterday and what he did to Kamara. He should be ashamed of himself. But who is the most normal of the NFL head coach? I feel like Andy Reid would have a normal conversation with you about life, about your kids, about, you know, peanut butter and jelly.
I feel Vrabel, normal guy. Mike Vrabel.
He said he cut his penis Vrabel's off and they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, but who wouldn't?
Did you guys see what the Titans did before that game?
Andy Reid wouldn't. I mean,
did you see what the Titans did before that game? Now the Titans,
it was, boss move.
It's kind of that's an alpha move right there. The Titans had a team meeting on the Raven Shield, and this is all macho bullshit. But you don't do that on the team logo at midfield. Everybody knows this. And Jim Harbaugh is getting in a fight with, I don't know, the Titans player that was getting involved with Jim Harbaugh. But and then Vrabel, because thank God he's wearing a mask.
With John Harbaugh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. John Harbaugh. Jim, I mean, what an embarrassment.
Pretty sure it was Butler. I'm pretty sure it was the cornerback that used to play for the Patriots.
It was Malcolm Butler and A.J. Brown.
You could see sort of the smile under the mask from Mike Vrabel because he knows exactly how he was needling him. And they own them. And Ravens kind of got some questions that need to be answered. I don't know if this is teams figuring out Lamar Jackson, if they're getting played differently, but Lamar Jackson is not the same player. I know they've had a recent injury along that offensive line, but it's quite the drop-off. Like, you look at the stats this year. I'm not going to do the thing that you think I'm going to do, which is call Baker Mayfield a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. I learned my lesson.
Why would you do
quite severely last year when Baker Mayfield had the season he had and Lamar Jackson won the MVP. But if you're just looking at the numbers, one could have that argument.
Speaking of arguments, one that we had last week, Billy, the Chiefs, at least for a half, at least for most of that game, they don't appear to be the same team. I mean, same kind of offense.
That's what I'm saying. You don't know who they are.
I don't yet. I really don't.
A couple weeks before the Dolphins go to that who's who game. And Stugatz, Bruce Arians, that's the guy that I think that looks kind of normal. Now, he seems like a bit of a grouch in terms of which head coach is the most normal. He seems like a grouch, but I could see Bruce Arians barbecuing in the backyard.
That's so good. It's a good nominee, right? Him or Andy Reid. And I'll tell you who will be doing that soon is Mike McCarthy.
Pete Carroll, normal guy?
Yeah.
Nah, not the way he chews his gum.
A little
intense. Too intense of a gum chewer?
Yeah, something's going on there with the gum.
How about Ron Rivera?
I just said let's look at the stats, and that's a losing hand when you've played the weather games at Baker Mayfield. I'd like to walk that one back. I was just going off of QBR. Don't do that. Lamar Jackson's better than Baker Mayfield, but I'm just saying.
By a lot, Mike.
You hate Lamar Jackson. I feel like there's a bingo board here, and there's like is it bingo? Yeah, there's like a bingo board every Monday, and it's like, okay, what are we going to do here? Mike's going to have something negative to say about
I don't like Lamar
something
Jackson.
Positive about Baker Mayfield.
I don't like Lamar Jackson. I don't like Lamar Jackson, and all Lamar Jackson does is the exact same thing Baker Mayfield was doing last year that got me all riled up and loving Baker Mayfield. I'll wear it. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a fan of my team. I don't like the Steelers. I don't like the Ravens. I don't like either of their quarterbacks. I'll concentrate on the flaws, even though Ben Roethlisberger's having a really good season by all accounts. I'll still be like, I don't trust that guy on the road. Lamar Jackson, did you see his post-game press conference? He goes all hat in hand. It feels like people want us to lose. Oh, I'm sorry, Lamar. Are we hurting your feelings? That was my entire life last season supporting the Browns. Everybody wanted the Browns to lose.
There was some Sean Connery in there.
I hear it, Mike. Your team, Bill Polian. You can say it.
Yeah. Careful, Mike.
No, I'm not team Bill Polian. But I might have sent someone a picture of Bill Polian in a gold jacket. Might have. I do this thing where I like to annoy Mina. She's like, please stop texting me this. And every week I'm just like, hey.
I think
Mina was texting me yesterday about the Dolphins offensive line. I'm like, back off, okay? It's one game.
Mina
is right about. Mina also told me Sam Darnold was going to be great, okay? I mean, please. Jeez. I want to play a little game, and I love you, Mina. I don't know why I took a shot at Mina early in the morning. A little game here. I think the audience would have fun with this. What do you guys think Dan is going to what's he going to be hot on today? Because I think he's going to be all over Dabo. That's where I think he's going. Mm-hmm. All over Dabo.
I think he's going to be on Mahomes in his greatness.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, Billy, you got anything? Any nominees here? So I'm going my nominee, what Dan's going to be hot on. I'm not saying he's going to lead the show because you never know where the show's going to go, right? But I'm thinking Dabo is the thing that Dan is hottest on. maybe PJ Walker.
I mean, we got bogged down in random Carolina Panthers offense.
We really did. But it was PJ Walker. I mean, different. It wasn't Teddy. And Mike, what was your nominee again? I'm sorry.
I know for a fact he watched every play of that Chiefs game because it was one of Mia's picks. Right. So
it's
going
to be Mahomes.
Yeah, I think it's Mahomes. He likes to celebrate players' greatness when you're at that level. Mahomes is a cheat code. So I think it's Mahomes and then Dabo.
All right, Mahomes, Dabo. I think it's Dabo and Mahomes. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, when you said Dabo, I think that's easily the leader in the clubhouse. You got to go Dabo.
Dabo, Mahomes. Tua will be in there, right?
Are you writing down all of our selections? I see you writing here.
I am. I wrote down Dabo for me.
The thing about Dabo, though, Stugatz, is that was Saturday. Chris. So sometimes the Saturday thing sneaks past, you know?
Yeah, but the press conference was yesterday, Billy.
And now the Clemson AD just released a statement. So.
Yeah, no, he was another one that was. We have sound of him, too. He also thinks that FSU is to blame for this whole thing. It's kind of insane.
I have Mike Mahomes, me and Chris Dabo. I am writing this down. Billy, where are you going here?
I think Mahomes is probably or maybe
Tua. He might go Tua.
No, I was thinking about Aaron Rodgers.
Tough one.
While you guys think about that, what are you doing, AstraZeneca? you see this with the latest vaccine? Now, it's great. We're going to have multiple vaccines. But I kind of know which one I'm getting now, which is the one that has recently been announced, which is only 70% effective. You had the whole thing with Moderna and Pfizer, 94, 95, Pfizer right back. No, we're 95% effective. AstraZeneca comes out today. We got a vaccine too. It's 70% effective. Well, then, you know what? Let's just bury that. Why didn't you come
out
first?
Still passing. Yeah, passing grade. That's a C.
I know which one I'm going to get stuck with. We'll see which one my insurance carries.
I feel like they're going to come out and be like, we're being honest. Okay, don't trust all these other numbers. We're giving you the real stuff, the real score.
I'll take any of them. I don't care.
You're going to take all three.
I will, together.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, why not? I mean, one of them's got to work.
I don't think that's the way the percentages are supposed to work, but you might think it's like you want your cliche monster. You want your vaccine to give you 120% every time. Yes. I guess it's good because there's going to be such a demand that you have all these companies coming out and pumping them out, but 70%, that's not exactly getting the people excited.
No, 70%?
Yeah, that's the latest. I saw the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion. It was good. It was well done.
Was it?
Yeah, it was well done. I was kind of uncomfortable with how much Will ran the show. I was hoping for more of an ensemble thing, but he was the main attraction, and he was also interviewing everybody. He was the Diane Sawyer, which was kind of weird.
I want to go back to 70% for a second, because that's average to good in most things in life. Like, if your football team's winning 70% of its football games, you're a very happy
there
fan.
There are a lot of vaccines out
there. You cannot trot out a vaccine that says, hey, 70% likelihood it's going to work. You got to do better than that.
Well, you can't do that specifically on the heels of the two other ones coming out with 95%.
Correct.
Because if that was the first one we heard, we'd be all about 70%. Wow! Because believe it or not, there are a lot of vaccines that kind of have a similar percentage, and we never question them. Well, some people do, but that's a conversation for another day. But you can't follow 295s with a 70. You just can't.
Mike, was the Fresh Prince thing, was it like more nostalgia, or were you like learning stuff? Like, what was it? Like, what was the vibe of it?
It wasn't nostalgia, and I was very interested in snap counts. I wanted to see who made the trip out there that got one question. Like, what was the moment in the sun? And poor Jeffrey got boxed out, my man.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Yeah, he got boxed out. He actually, there was a moment there where he starts an applause and a clap, and it's literally his only moment of the reunion. Even like the young son comes out, Buckwheat from Little Rascals, who I pretty much forgot was even a part of this series because it was a part of the tail end. He gets a bigger moment than Jeffrey.
I felt bad.
Yeah. Is there a director's cut? Are there deleted scenes? I need more Jeffrey, who looks great, by the way. He looks the same, but he figured out the secret to aging, which is look 60 for 40 years.